Let us pray. Lord, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is springtime, which means it's pruning time. And we're going to be talking about pruning today, as that is our gospel message for today. Yesterday, I was out with a friend, and we went to the little nursery that's at Girard and Victoria Park. And they've got lots and lots of plants in. They all look beautiful. I get really inspired. But it was raining, so I didn't buy anything. But then I went home and looked at my own little yard. And it's filled with vines and branches. And it is, and weeds, and a few little flowers that are coming up. And it's a total mess. And I think, why didn't I go out 2 weeks ago when I had the inclination and start pruning it? But, you know, I got lazy and I didn't bother. And now the weeds and the branches and the vines are so much stronger and so much heavier and are going to be way, way, way more work to get rid of. I think sometimes it's like that in our spiritual lives too, isn't it? We know that we should give up a habit. We want to prune it out of our lives, but we haven't quite gotten around to it yet. But we will. We will one of these days. But we know the longer we leave it, the harder it's going to be. Well, Jesus sort of has a word for us today. And I love the fact that he talks about us being the branches of a vine. Do you know what kind of vines he was talking about? Grapevines. Yeah, they would have been grapevines. And that was a common metaphor for Israel. Israel was the grape vine or the plant, and God was the one who tended the plant. So now, Jesus says, you are now part of my vineyard that I want to produce really great wine. I have joined a little Facebook group about Roman history. I find it fascinating. And they have actually found bottles of wine from the first century. Roman wine, I mean, I'm sure the wine has evaporated by now, but the bottles were still intact. And you think, that's 2,000 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful to actually see if there was something left in them? That's the wonderful quality about wine. If you put it in the right condition, it's still going to be drinkable years and years and years later. It's sort of like the fruit Jesus is talking about in our lives, the fruit that will last not just for today, but for tomorrow, for the next day, for the next year, for the next decade, and in fact, into eternity. I love the fact that Jesus is, this is Maundy Thursday that he's saying these things to his disciples. And the first thing he says is who he is. He is the true vine. Have you ever had a plant in your yard? And you think, oh, great, it's going to look so nice when it finally blooms. And then it finally blooms, and it only looked like a nice plant. It was actually a weed. And when it gets bigger and stronger, you realize it was masquerading as a friendly vine. And it's really something that's very weedy, and it's fake. And you wish you'd gotten rid of it a lot earlier. Jesus said, I am the true vine that's going to make really good wine. Jesus is not taught, he says he's the water of life too, and all these other metaphors. But I like the fact that he says he is the true vine that's going to produce wine. Because wine is intoxicating, isn't it? Wine is a good thing if St. Paul says to Timothy, if you have a stomach ache, take some wine. That's what you need. It's medicine. It makes us feel happy if we haven't let it control us. But it's a very strong image of what Jesus can produce in our lives. Something that has medicinal value, something that can make us happy. I'm talking spiritually now. And something that's really strong and can sustain us. Jesus said, I am the true vine, not us, not the things that we can produce in our own lives, because our wine is going to be pretty weak. It's going to be more like grape juice, which, you know, is okay, but it's just grape juice. And my Father is the wine grower. He's picking up that picture from the Old Testament of the Garden of Eden. He still wants us to bring us back to that place where we are one with Him, we are one with God the Father, and God has His right place in our lives as the one that's taking care of the whole garden. He removes, okay, here's the hard part, because this is a tough passage as well as being an encouraging passage. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. He removes it. Have you ever done that in your garden? Have you ever had to prune? Maybe it's a rose bush. My rose bush at the front, it is so out of control. It's got so many branches on it now that it's not bearing roses because all of its energy is going into these little branches that aren't doing anything. And so even though I don't want to do it because it seems mean and it seems like maybe I'll pick out the wrong branch to prune, I need to do it. Otherwise, I'm not to have any roses. I'm only going to have branches. So it's a natural thing. If you're not producing fruit, it says, he says, the vine keeper will come and take away that branch. You're bearing much fruit in your life? If you're a dead branch, Jesus says you're not even part of the vine then. If you're not producing any fruit, what's going to happen? The vine keeper is going to come and take you away. But then it gets even harder. Every branch that bears fruit, okay, maybe you think, yep, I'm bearing some spiritual fruit in my life. I'm being kind to my family. I'm witnessing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm bearing some fruit. Here's what he says. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. Whatever happens, we're going to get pruned. It's like your garden in your backyard or your front yard. It's going to get pruned, whether it's bearing a little bit of fruit or bearing a lot of fruit. The whole thing about it is having a garden that's going to produce the best fruit, the most fruit, and the wine that's going to taste the best. So he's going to prune us. But Jesus gives us encouragement. He says, you've already been cleansed. Your branches that are already bearing fruit, you've been listening to my word for the last 3 years. So my word has already set the stage for you to bear much of your fruit. And then he gives us this promise, abide in me, otherwise you're going to be in big trouble. Nobody's got their Bibles open. You don't even know if that's what it says, do you? Abide in me or else you're going to be in big trouble. No, it doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that. He says, abide in me, as I abide in you. Jesus is already abiding in us. Jesus is already in our hearts and our souls and our minds. He wants to be there. He is there. And he wants us to be doing the same. He wants us to know that we are abiding in him as he abides in us. If I know I'm abiding in Christ, I can go out and do so many things for the kingdom. I can worship God and have joy. I can go out and I can witness to other people. I can be in the frame of mind that I can say to God the Father, yes, I need to be pruned. Here's the areas in my life, and we all know, don't we, if we're honest with ourselves, where we could be bearing more fruit. Anybody got a grudge against somebody in your life? I know I do. I can think of the person right now. Maybe it's time to tell the vine keeper, can you help me prune that resentment, that grudge against that person? It might involve me doing something really, really hard, like phoning them up and seeing how they're doing. Maybe that's not your problem, though. Maybe you're just so preoccupied with social media that it takes up a lot of your time. We're probably an older crew, so that maybe is not our issue. But maybe you're just so caught up in all the good things in your life. Monday night, I'm going to a movie. Tuesday night, I'm going out to dinner with friends. Wednesday night, I'm going to see a play. Thursday, we're driving down to Niagara-on-the-Lake, and I'm going to go shopping. And then on Saturday, it's another play. And our whole life revolves around, how can I satisfy myself? I'm often in that place, and it feels good, doesn't it? But maybe that's something you need to be pruning back just a little bit. You can ask the vine keeper to help you with that too. Whatever it is in your life that's causing you not to bear all of the fruit that God would like you to bear for the kingdom, God will help you with the pruning process. Maybe we need to sharpen our tools. I've gone out and tried to cut some branches back, but if the tool in my hand is dull, then it's not going to work. Maybe you need some help from God to want to do it, to have that dullness in your spirit sharpened up a bit. Proverbs tells us that iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. Maybe it's talking to a really godly Christian to say, I'm just at an impasse in my life. I'm not producing the kind of fruit that God wants me to. What can I do to help that process happen? And what's the kind of fruit that God wants us to produce? Well, the book of Galatians tells us, what are the fruits of the Spirit? What's the first one? Y'all must know this one. I know you do. Love. Exactly. It's what Lori read to us from 1 John. Love is the very first fruit that St. Paul lists. If we don't have love in our lives, we're not bearing the fruit of the kingdom. It's not about keeping commandments and, you know, doing all these really hard things. It's about loving. It's about loving God. It's about loving our friends and our neighbors. And that isn't, you know, a nice sentimental feeling we have about them. We have that about our best friends sometimes. But it's wishing God's best for them. It's doing what we can to bring about God's good in their lives. Joy. Anybody got joy in their life? It's not something we always go around thinking about, isn't it? But when you see it in a person, a joyful person, they just sparkle. They're happy. But it's a happy that's at a deep level. Peace. Boy, we need peace in our world, don't we? And unless we're peaceful people, it's hard. It's hard to go and share it with others. I'm a social media person. I hate to say it, even though I'm old. But I just get angry when I go on social media. There's so many problems in the world, and people are so stupid. And if only I could make things right. But that doesn't fill me with peace. It doesn't fill me with the love of God. And it doesn't fill me with patience or kindness or faithfulness or gentleness or self-control. Those are all the fruits of the Spirit. This is the kind of wine that God wants to see in our lives. The kind of wine, when we offer it to somebody else, they drink it down and they say, I've never tasted that kind of wine before. It's like Jesus at his very first miracle. He turned the water into wine, and the master of ceremonies was near the end of the party, and they bring out this new wine that Jesus had just produced, and he said, usually at a party, they serve the good stuff first when people can really enjoy it, and then when they're drunk, they bring out the cheap stuff so that people don't really know. But you have kept the best until last. This is the best wine ever. That's the kind of fruit Jesus wants us to bear. And sometimes it's going to be where we don't expect it. Sometimes pruning has to do with stuff we don't want to get rid of. The story that Lori read us from the book of Acts. You know, Philip had a revival going on in the city that he was in. Healing was taking place. He was preaching to a lot of people, and they were coming to know the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, came to him and said, I want you to go out into the wilderness on this deserted road. What? But there's a revival going on. There's good things happening. I'm bearing a lot of fruit. It's being aware of that voice of God. Even when we're doing successful things, God might say, I got something different for you to do now. And we have to be open to hear that. And so Philip went along this wilderness road. I'm sure he was wondering what was happening. And who does he meet up with? An official from the Queen of Ethiopia's treasury. And the guy gets converted. One convert. But that story is the first story in the New Testament where an African has become a Christian. He goes back to Ethiopia. And we know that the church, since the first century, has been a Christian place. Because Philip was able to hear the voice of God that said, gonna prune something that looks successful so I can take you to what doesn't make sense, but it will make sense down through the ages. That's how close we have to be with God, that we're able to hear when the vine keeper comes into our little garden and says, why don't we prune this little part right here? And the more we are open to it, the more God will produce in our lives love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we will be able to go out and do those things that God asks us to do. For God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. May God abide in you this week, and may you feel and see the fruits of the Spirit that he produces in your life. Amen.